The reading today shall be taken from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello and good evening. My name is Adam Curtis. I'm on the staff here at St. Mary's, and it's a joy to be with you all. And as we come to God's word, let's come in humility and in prayer. Dearest God, we thank you, Father, that you have created the sun and that it gives light to our day. We thank you, Father God, that with a word, you made all that we see and know and touch and feel and comprehend. And we pray, Father God, that as we now come to your living word, may it create new life in us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Where do you turn when the enemy comes knocking at your door? Danger is in front of you. Tanks are maybe rolling across your land, or missiles are flying over your head. Darkness meets you. Maybe a dark night of the soul where you reflect on who you are and what you've done and the cost of those actions. Or maybe it's disease. Diseased in a loved one. Or disease in your own body. How do you answer when an enemy comes knocking at the door? Because in our world there are many enemies. And we could keep on going. Maybe it's death which comes knocking. Or maybe it's despair. And in the reality of this world and of these enemies, what does the Lord have to say to us when we're standing at that door and we're hearing that knock? We're starting in our summer series, a series in the Psalms, these prayers and these hymns of David and of other Israelite authors. And David, who is the author of Psalm 27, he knows a lot. He knows a lot about an enemy coming knocking at his door. It was David who fought Goliath. It was David who was chased through the land by King Saul. It was David whose own son led a rebellion against him. David knows very well what it is like to have an enemy knocking at the door. So as we now come to Psalm 27, what does the Lord God have to say to us today? And as we look at this psalm, we're going to learn a lot about David, but if we just stop there, then we won't get very far. Because as we're learning about David, let's learn and let's trust and let's look to David's God. And here in this psalm, the first thing we see is David's confidence. Verses 1-3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. You know, darkness is quite a scary thing. Darkness is a scary thing because you can't see if there's a monster under your bed. But neither can you see if there is an enemy with a dagger just around the corner. So the Lord being his light, it brings liberation because he can see. He can see clearly. And the Lord is for David his light, but he is also his salvation. He is the one who has come and who's rescued him from a storm and brought him to that place of safety. And the Lord is to David a stronghold, that image of a city with a mighty wall, and wave upon wave upon wave of the enemy army just comes crashing against you. And yet David knows that this enemy army will fall because the Lord is David's light and David's salvation and David's stronghold. So David is confident, as he should be. He can remember when he was but a wee boy and he was standing against a mountain of a man, Goliath, who was huge and who was terrifying. And yet the Lord used him to bring that mountain of a man down. David has a reason for confidence. The Lord is his light, his salvation, his stronghold. And thus it is the most natural thing in the world for David to say, well, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I be afraid of? And what's interesting is that this confidence of David then flows into a desire of David, which we see David's desire in verses 4-6. Verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. And what is it that he's asking from the Lord? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. And for how long does he want to dwell there? All the days of my life. And what does he want to do there? To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And why does he want to go there? For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. David knows that the place of safety, of security, of protection is those who are with the Lord. And so that is what David, he is seeking and he is longing for. We see again and again in this language which is used here of a temple and a dwelling place and a sacred tent. David wants to be with his God. And the language of a dwelling and a temple and a sacred tent, that takes us back into the Israelite history of the tabernacle where God symbolically dwelt. And yet that symbolic, God symbolically dwelling there in the tent is not simply that God, that David wants to be in that tent. It's that David wants to be with the Lord wherever he is. David wants to be with the Lord because he knows that is the place of security and of protection. He knows that those who are with the Lord are held and that they're safe. In the sixth book of Harry Potter, Harry is happy to go to a secret lair. A secret lair which you can only enter through the payment of blood. And he's happy to go across a lake which is foreboding, and he's happy to stand on a lonely island in the darkness. And why is he happy to do all those things in the book? Because he's with the greatest wizard of all time. And because he's with that man, he feels secure. And that is just a work of fiction where David, he feels secure because he is with the Lord. He longs to be with the Lord because that is a place of safety. And this great desire of David's to be with the Lord and to be safe, well, it then turns into a plea, into a prayer. Verse 7. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Why does David, with his great desire to see the Lord's face and to be in his dwelling, why does he need to, at this moment, cry out for mercy? Why does he need mercy if he is going to be able to see the Lord's face and gaze upon the Lord's beauty? Well, he needs mercy because he knows that he doesn't deserve to be there. Verse 9. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. David knows. He knows that the glory, the purity, the majesty of God is such that he, a sinful man, cannot dwell there. He knows that even as Moses, the great hero of the Jewish faith, was called up to the mountain and was enabled to be with God, God wouldn't even show his face to Moses, but only his back. And that very act causes Moses' face to shine as bright as the sun. Because that is what happens when you're in the presence of the glory and the majesty and the might of the living God. And David knows this. He knows that he's a sinful man. He knows he's not allowed in God's presence. And so he cries out for mercy. Show me mercy. So that I might dwell with you. So that I might be able to seek your face. But what's interesting in this psalm, even as David cries out for mercy, you see more of his confidence. Halfway through verse 9, you have been my helper. And then verse 10, though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And that language of verse 10 is like, well, even if my mother and father forsake me, even if it gets that bad, I know that the Lord God will hold me, that he will receive me. He will welcome me in because of his mercy and grace. So David's confidence turns into David's desire, fuels his desire, which is then seen in this prayer for mercy. And within that prayer, within his confidence there, that he knows the Lord will receive him, he then goes further and he says, well, show me mercy. And then verse 11, teach me your ways. And why does David have to cry out to the Lord, have mercy on me and teach me your ways? Because David knows his history. He knows his history. He knows that Adam and Eve walked in the garden with the Lord God, but because of their sin and rebellion, they were banished. And David doesn't want that to be his story. So he wants the Lord, teach me your ways so that I won't fall. Teach me your ways so that I may stay with you forever. Teach me your ways because only those who are with you are safe. And I want to be with you and gaze at your glory. I want to be safe within your stronghold. So show me mercy. Teach me your ways. And finally, David's prayer turns into an appeal. And as we read this, I assume that this appeal first was sort of written to David's own heart. He's calling to himself. But actually, as this prayer, this psalm has been sung by the Jewish people and has been sung by the church and said by the church and prayed by the church for thousands of years, this appeal then goes out to us as well. David's appeal, verse 13 and 14. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. David is appealing to himself and to all believers to wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord to act. Wait for the Lord to save. Because his goodness will be known in the land of the living. It will flow out like a river which bursts forth. And all will feel it. And all will know it. So wait on the Lord. As the enemies come knocking. As the armies come besieging. As accusers and false witnesses come accusing. Wait on the Lord. And what is then the big point of this psalm for us today? Here in Maidenhead. Thousands of years after this psalm was written. What is the big point? When the enemy comes knocking, seek the Lord's face. When the enemy comes knocking, seek the Lord's face. Because the reality is, in life, there are so many other faces that we can seek when the enemy comes knocking. And we've got to place ourselves rightly in this psalm. We're not David. God made specific promises to David about material protection from enemies, which God hasn't made to us. But God has made promises to the enemies he's told us we will face. God has told us that we will face the world and sin and the devil. And God has made promises to us. And the problem is, though, that when sin, the world, and the devil comes knocking, there's other faces which we can seek after, which we can go to. When the devil comes knocking and comes whispering in our ears that you're not good enough, you're not worth enough. When the devil comes whispering on ears that God's not even there and God doesn't even care. When the devil comes whispering in our ears, we can look at that face of just distraction. And we can try and busy ourselves up in every moment of life. We can watch Netflix or Amazon Prime or 4OD or BBC or ITV or Disney Plus or Discover. Or we can listen to Spotify or Audible. We can go on Instagram or we can go on TikTok or we can go on Facebook or we can go on X or we can go on Snapchat or we can even just read a book. But we can just distract ourselves thinking, I don't want to have to deal with what the devil's saying to me and making me feel and the doubts which is causing in my head. I just want to distract myself. So I look at that face of distraction rather than trying to deal with what's being whispered at me. Or an enemy can come knocking. Sin can come knocking. And it says to us, sin says to us, you know what, that family member of yours, that husband, that wife, that child, that mother, that father, you know the way that they speak to you? How dare they speak to you like that? Don't you know who you are? Don't you know what you've done for them? Don't you know what you've given them? How dare they speak to you like that? How dare they do it? And sin can just tell us. And it can become this raging bull within us that we just want to let rip. Against that mother, that father, that son, that daughter, that friend who we think isn't giving us the respect that we deserve. And in that moment when sin can come knocking, well, at that moment we can just look at the wrong face. We can look at that face of self-reliance. That face of self-reliance. We say, actually, I can master this myself. I can manage this myself. I can deal with this myself. If I share with this with people, or if I ask for help with people, or I ask people for prayer, or I go to the Lord, then I will show that I'm weak, that I'm needy, that I'm pathetic, but I'm strong and I can handle this all on my own. Or another enemy may come knocking. The world may come knocking. And may say to us, those things you believe, they're just so outdated. They're just so old school. Like, do you really think that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Do you really hold to that? And we can hear that in our workplace. We can hear that in our schools and our universities. We can hear it in our families and from our loved ones. And sometimes we might be tempted to look at that face of just cultural acceptance. That face which says, I'm just going to blend it so that no one might think that I'm odd or different or hold radical views. I'm just going to blend in. The reality is, when the enemy comes knocking at the door, there are so many faces that we can seek. And Psalm 27 is proclaiming to us today, when the enemy comes knocking at the door, seek the face of the Lord. Because he is our light and our salvation and our stronghold. And it is only those who are in his presence who will be safe. And the good news is that we today know so much more than David ever knew. We know so much more than David ever knew, because we know that the Lord's face is revealed in Jesus Christ. We know that the Lord's face is revealed in Jesus Christ. David could say, the Lord is my light. Well, we have even more confidence to know that the Lord is our light. Because Jesus Christ, the light of the world, stepped down into our darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. We know with even more confidence that the Lord is our salvation. Because the very blood of Jesus Christ has washed us free so that we can stand before the Father as loved and forgiven, as chosen and as children and as the very heirs of heaven. We know with an even more confidence than David that the Lord is our stronghold, that we are safe within these walls. And there is no devil or demon or angel or height or depth or man or woman which can ever separate us from his love. We know so much more than David. And so our confidence can be so much greater that the Lord is our light and our salvation and our stronghold. So when the enemy comes knocking and we have to seek the face of the Lord, well, what does that look like? What does that mean to do that? And I want to say there's a now and there's a not yet, sort of a Christian jargony sort of phrase. There's a now and not yet sort of application for seeking the face of the Lord. The now application for seeking the face of the Lord is practicing those holy habits which the Christian church has been practicing for thousands of years, of reading God's word, of turning to God in prayer, of being at church and responding to his word in our lives. But it's also pushing deeper into our own Bible reading and into our own responses to sermons and talks and Bible studies and really meditating upon his word and letting it feed us. Letting it be that meal which keeps us going and enables us to rest. Really chewing over those words so that within God's promises made in scripture, we can taste the beauty of God and know the beauty of God. But there is also a not yet element to seeking the face of the Lord. Because the reality is, while we live on this earth now, before Jesus Christ has returned, we live in a fallen and a dark world. But one day, that light which has pierced the darkness and brought about our salvation, will return. And one day, the Lord's goodness will pour through this land. And one day, we will see the lover of our souls face to face. And that is the very face which we should seek, which we should long for, and which one day we will know when Jesus Christ returns in all his glory and in all his splendor. So when the enemy comes knocking, seek the face of the Lord. Let us meditate on God's word, and then I'll close in prayer. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Dearest God, King of kings and Lord of lords, thank you for how you have acted in history in the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for how you have spoken in your word and have given us so many reasons for confidence. I pray, Father God, that when we find the devil at our door, sin knocking, the world bashing it down, may we be men and may we be women who run to you, who find our safety with you. Help us, Father God, to seek your face every day. Help us, Father God, to see you in your glory and your beauty and your majesty. And thank you, Father God, that one day your Son will return and we will forever be looking face to face at the one who loves us. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.